Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Training proudly present No Borders, No Links, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your king, baby, Doc Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. So the other day, I get a package in the mail for film to review, a movie called The Suffering of Ninko. Now, this wasn't something that I requested, but I know the team who sent it to me, and they figured that since it was a Japanese film that I would be interested. So I thank them for keeping me in mind when it comes to that genre. It was a very nice surprise. However, I do have a bit of a bone to pick with the person who created the mailing label for this film, and I shit you not, on the label, which everyone handling this package could see in plain black and white, was the phrase, Japanese erotica. Now, I'm not the smartest man in the world, I've never claimed to be, but it would seem pretty obvious that putting the phrase Japanese erotica on the front of a package would be a really bad idea. Because for some people, the phrase Japanese erotica could automatically register in their brain as Japanese porn. Don't lie, some of you listeners thought the same thing as well. Now, I'm not the kind of person who goes, "Give me an apology!" I'm not that kind of guy. I just want whoever is in charge of making these labels to be very careful next time with the wording on packages, especially those that are going to be handled by various parties as it's getting to the destination. Be honest, would you want your copy of High School DxD to arrive in your mailbox with the phrase erotic anime action comedy written on the package? I wouldn't think so. So please, people who are in charge of sending films and like out to review, not just this one company whom I won't name, I'm talking to all of you out there. Be careful with the language that you use on a label. It could accidentally make shit awkward, like how it is now with me and my mail carrier. She won't even look me in the eye anymore, goddammit. Anyways, enough griping. Let's start the show. Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, Yes Asia, Amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record stores. Today we're going to start things off on something very peppy. It's the opening theme to this summer's new hit harem anime comedy, Yuna in the Haunted Hot Springs. And while some may find various comparisons to the show with Monster Musume, I feel it's more aligned with one of my favorite classic comedies, Love Hina. A spiritual successor, if you like to call it, with puns somewhat intended. Here now is the opening theme performed by Luna Haruna, and this song is called Momoiro Typhoon.
Romance, I wanna die.
Huge flashback to the 60s. That was Emmy Jackson and the Blue Comets with her hit song, Namida no Gogo. Born in Essex, England, and relocating to Yokohama as a teenager, Emmy saw a string of hits between 1965 and 1966 before going into early retirement. She would reemerge in the 80s with a new single. It would come fully out of retirement in the 90s, where she still performs today. For a while, I have been rather cautious when a television anime takes one of its films and adapts it into a long arc. When this occurs, it can lead to dull plot lines, loads of unnecessary filler, and even a watering down of the story that it was trying to tell. Now, it should be no surprise that I'm kind of making a jab at Dragon Ball Super's first two big arcs, which were bloated versions of both Battle of Gods and Resurrection F. These are two great movies that helped to make the iconic Dragon Ball franchise slightly more badass, but when adapted into a seasonal arc in Super, well, it felt like a big waste of time. So naturally, when I heard that Boruto, Naruto Next Generations, was planning to adapt the film into a longer arc, I immediately started to fear the worst. The movie was outstanding, and actually stands as one of my all-time favorites in the Naruto movie franchise. How could they take something that's almost a near-perfect film and try to not make it feel like a waste of time for its viewers and even the animators working on it? Well, with that arc just recently wrapping up, it somehow managed to flesh out the bigger aspects of the movie while beefing up the tension and action. I'm going to do my best to not dive into spoiler territory, but, you know, Boruto is one of those anime where if you don't latch onto it right when it starts up, then it's almost impossible to get into it right here and now. Still, I'll do my best to keep it spoiler-free. So, in this particular arc in Boruto, like the film, the students are embarking on their Chunin exams. These are like tests, missions, and battles against one another to prove their worth as a ninja. And Boruto, wanting to prove to his father that he can be stronger than him, he attempts to cheat, using what is known as a scientific ninja tool, which can help users perform various means of powerful techniques, even if they don't have the skills to do so. Mumbo jumbo science stuff, blah 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 blah. What the series does better than the film is showcase the tension that is between father and son, with Boruto thinking, rightfully so, that Naruto hasn't been there for his family, and instead focuses more on his job as Hokage. Cuts this aspect deep into the storylines of this arc, with Boruto and Naruto both realizing their flaws as both human beings and as family members. even when they're talking things out in the midst of an intense battle, you get a better understanding of why Naruto behaves the way that he does, you know, despite a 720 episode series already doing that for us, and awakens to the realization that he needs to be a better dad to his kids. Although Boruto almost ruins his awakening by telling his dad not to change his ways, he still gives his father the opening to be around more when he's needed. This whole thing started with the fact that Naruto wasn't there for his daughter Himawari's birthday, and it feels like Boruto has pushed the importance on his dad to be there for his kids as they grow up. But at the same time, Boruto sees the importance and heavy burden his dad has as the Hokage, giving him a better understanding of why Naruto can't always be around. In a way, is this presentation throughout the TV adaptation of the Boruto movie that somehow ones up the original? It gives it a much stronger spine in the body of this arc, allowing it to support all the ideas, beliefs, and concepts that roll around the heads of this father and son dynamic. And it does so without feeling like any of this new content is wasted or drawn out. And for a franchise to be able to pull that off, it's quite commendable. So, if you're a fan of Boruto and Naruto, but was skipping out on this arc because you had already seen the film, man, I'll be blunt, you're making a big mistake. Go and watch it on Crunchyroll, Hulu, Neon Library, or any legal streaming site, because they managed to do what Dragon Ball Super was unable to pull off, and that is add something meaningful to an already existing story. They did a fantastic job. I was really taken aback by how good it was. Now, when it comes to stories and music, one of our all-time favorites is the rock opera David Comes to Life by Toronto's iconic hardcore punk band Fucked Up. Well, 7 years later, the character of David is being revisited in a new concept album entitled Dose Your Dreams. And reading the description of what is in store for this story, it is going to be one hell of a trip. And I'm very excited to be playing one of their first singles. This is the first single from Dose Your Dreams, which will be in stores on October 5th. Here are Fucked Up with Raise Your Voice Joyce.
Got the little bat, they got me. For you, it's a trap, get in front of me. Just by the same, killing happy. And they can shout her name into the street. I told her I was thinking, but she said, where have you been? Lucky me, I play my friend into the devil wind. And I feel like I'm falling asleep. But this is all just part of a wicked dream. When I wake up, you'll see what I mean. I'm not meant to be stuck in infinity. But I can see infinity living epically. You'll see later, what the fuck we get that through the screen. Raise your voice, raise your voice.
Raise your voice, 만나게 돼 없는 모든 것부터 모여난 건 몇몇 승량의 바생각 사게 생겨서 이 땅에 가득 대신에 자유나가니 이만 영혼 전략이 온 질고엔 더 플러스 영혼 진리 전혀 어깨 일단 손질이 바뀌는 손을 깨서 어제의 대화 나와 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 나와
Maximum the Hormone with Ningen Enpi off of their Mimi Kajiro EP. Initially out of print for many years, the band re-recorded this EP and placed it as a bonus disc with their live album Decca vs. Decca, though what you just heard now was in fact the original version of that song, so consider that a treat of sorts. Now Bumba the Chicken have returned with a brand new single, which hopefully is a sign that a new album is underway. This is Bowen no Machi. Feel the Work. That was Evan Jewett with Dust Contest. The LP, out in stores on September 14th, is described as a stoic patchwork of songs about bloody roommates, detached people stuck inside, and kids wandering the hills. I can relate to about two-thirds of that. When this New York-based songwriter is not performing behind the mic, he spends his time making furniture, much like what actor Nick Offerman does, which, you know, it's kind of a cool talent if you got it. So one of my favorite video games released this year thus far is the racing title Onrush, the latest from Codemasters. What made this one particularly special was the fact that this game was developed by the people who once made up Evolution Studios, the same folks who made the MotorStorm franchise for Sony. It was an amazing video game that combined racing with the teamwork aspect of something like Overwatch, and is in the running for being my pick for the very best video game of 2018. When I did my review, I even went so far as to say that we should all be thanking Codemasters for saving the Evolution Studios team. Well, I guess we should take that thank you back, as it was announced that due to Onrush not performing spectacular numbers, Codemasters have let go the majority of the Evolution team from their studio. And to me, I'm gonna be blunt, that's fucking awful. Here's a group of developers who decided to take the racing genre, think outside the box with adding something fresh for it, and came out on top with flying colors with one of the most exciting vehicle-based games I've played in years. And they've even convinced our newlywed pal John Star we can animate to get the game, and he fucking loved it. And the reason for the lackluster sales, they say, is because it wasn't promoted properly. Well, call me crazy, but if the game wasn't promoted properly, shouldn't the blame then be placed on the people who are supposed to push it to the gaming market? Don't fire the goddamn developers, ask the people responsible for creating the ads and the trailers and those that are trying to hype it up as something that wound up being more than just another racing game. Hell, when I was about to start playing Onrush, that's what I thought was going to be, just another racing game. I had no idea about the point system, the teamwork aspects, the play modes, none of it. I just thought it was going to be just another really good racing title from the developers that usually have an excellent track record for racers. Well, you know, save for that terrible Micro Machines title, and I have zero knowledge whatsoever that it was from the Evolution Studios guys until I actually started doing my research for that review. So if the person who was in charge of Onrush's PR had actually looked at the game, knew that it was going to be something different from anything that Codemasters have made in the past, and boosted it up as something that could be potentially a great esport, then this game would have sold crazy numbers. But no. Codemasters goofed up with its means of promoting it, and because of an issue that was not the fault of the developers, a good chunk of the people that had made it lost their jobs. To be blunt, it's a shitty corporate move, and it sucks that such a stunt was pulled on some good, hardworking people. My hope, my only hope, is that these developers, especially the former head of Evolution Studios, Paul Rutskinitsky, I don't think I butchered that. Yes! Anyway, I hope he also lands on his feet and they can craft something bigger and better. Maybe they'll be hired by another studio, or maybe even start on their own again. Even if they go through something like Kickstarter to make their next game, my hope is that they can be making something amazing in the future. More great racing titles that think outside the box, or even do something different from racing. Surprise us with like a third person or first person shooter, an RPG, whatever these guys want to make. But the fact that this team, who have been known to make some phenomenal racers, you know, say for Drive Club, we can actually forgive them for Drive Club thanks to the hard work that they put into Onrush. These guys are fantastic at what they do. And it just sucks that they've been let go. I hope someone picks them up or they go off and do their own thing. This is my personal opinion, but I'm sure a lot of my fellow journalists would agree that this should not have been blamed on the developers. This should have been blamed on the PR people. Whoever did the promotional stuff for it, they're the ones who should be getting that wag of the finger. All right, let's calm down a little bit. Let's go back to some music. Up next, we have the band Casablanca, the supergroup comprised of Sawao Yamanaka of The Pillows, Yoko of Noodles, and Kusadashinya of Radio Caroline. From last year's album, Break an Image, this is Yamine Hibiku Utagole. We'll be right back.
should people listen to another retro gaming podcast?
You mean our cast, David? We do have to keep this short, you know.
Yes, well, I guess we should start with the fact we celebrate old school video games.
And we have awesome guests and game giveaways. Don't forget that.
Plus our game show and your favorite segment, Random Select.
Don't remind me. Are we done yet?
Listen to our cast, another retro gaming podcast, part of RetroZap.com.
Finally, back to my beer.
Album Tomodachi. Walkings, of course, came over here last year as part of Japanite for South by Southwest and are now in the midst of a small tour in their homeland of Japan. Right now, we're going to head down to our neighbors in Mexico for a band called Cannibals, who last month released their latest EP, Rock and Roll. There are plans to play in Canada this October, so hopefully some big orange tweeting monster won't keep them from playing the US when they tread on over. Now, the English translation of this song title is The Devil's Belly Button, which doesn't sound quite threatening compared to how you say it in Spanish. So here's how you say it in Spanish. From their EP Rock and Roll, here are Cannibals with Umbilical del Diablo.
Que salir.
名刺を見返しては胸高鳴ってた I wear such a tea 年上の匂いスーツの背中魅惑の You Blue Perfume 同じ香りまとっても気づかないふりなのにねなんで急に抱きしめたりしたの終わらないジレンマ Just a phantom さよならあなたは永遠の幻私まで消えてしまいそうでリアルな記憶は Love Note of Perfume Like some drama
Like some drama
やめときなという声も無視して信じていたよマジ帰りたくないよとつぶやいた瞬間光ったディスプレイごめん仕事が入ったとキスしたバイバイ
傷つけるつもりはいつだってないさ信じて嬉しいの間なんて薄っぺらいさられなくて No, 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 no 24-7 It's more You are on my mind 言い聞かせた You're not my kind 本気の恋じゃない君は To good to be mine
一人の夜は考えるのあなたにこぼした涙は Oh, 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 oh.私を強くしてくれた魔法は溶けるの Last look of perfume もしすれ違っても私振り向かないきっと本物の恋
From their 2015 album Milk, that was Goose House with Perfume, one of the many music acts that first made their mark using YouTube to expand their audiences. They recently released a new live Blu-ray recorded back in November at Zepp Diver City, so be sure to grab that if you can. Now, I think many of us can agree that movie trailers these days can ruin the chance for people to go see a movie. In my personal opinion, I feel that trailers, be it TV commercial or even those shown in previews, should only showcase a snippet of actual clips mixed in with something that either acts like a prequel to the movie or something that might pull a bait and switch on its audience.We've seen Deadpool 2 do this with a few of their characters, having their fates altered from what the trailer perceived, and apparently previews for Sorry to Bother You have only been focusing on the first few minutes of the actual movie. And I bring this up because I recently went and saw Mission Impossible Fallout, which is an excellent action film that had me on the edge of my seat throughout its 2.5 hour run.What impressed me more was the fact that the trailers I saw for this sixth installment was that a plot point that roughly took about 5 minutes of the actual film's time was advertised as what the entirety of the movie was going to be about. And thus, audience members, thinking it was going to be about Ethan Hunt and his crew being hunted down by the very organization they've been part of, wound up being surprisingly a totally different story.And to me, that is a great way to sell a movie. If you reveal way too much in your trailers, then you're going to risk having no one seeing your film. We used to worry when trailers would show only the good parts of a movie, but now they've started showing every aspect of its 2.5 hour flick within a 2.5 minute time span. But if you were to simply keep some of the biggest twists in the dark, you know, like how trailers used to be able to, then you have the ability to one-up your audience reaction with some big surprises in store for them. What I'm trying to say is that whoever is in charge of promoting movies needs to take a cue from Mission Impossible Fallout, the recent Star Wars flicks, Deadpool 2, and Sorry to Bother You when it comes to creating trailers. Keep the great shit behind the curtain until release date while teasing us with some good stuff here and there. Hell, like I said, maybe even make some trailer-exclusive clips that serve the point of building the worlds of these films instead of shoving spoilers throughout the previews. If movie industries all over the world can do that, then people will more than likely find themselves binging on Netflix less, and instead, once in a great while, enjoy a night out with friends and lovers at the movies. You know, especially now that most movie theaters have got bars, reclining chairs, and more cool shit than usual that make it more comfortable to sit down and watch a movie. Because I remember back in the old days when you would sit in those chairs and it'd either be like sticky or really uncomfortable. It felt like 1,000 people sat on that chair before you did, so like the back of it is kind of all worn out. Anyways, I'm going off topic. What I'm trying to say is movie trailers should be more mysterious. That way, it gets more people to go and see the film. That's the point I'm trying to make. Right then, let's get back to the music. Noisy Cell have returned with a brand new album entitled Wolves, and will be touring Japan again very shortly. From that album is a hard rocking song called MRW, and no, I have no idea what that stands for.
Yeah. virginity.
The debut single from Clark Twain, that was Fly High, like Richard Branson. And thanks for reminding me that Virgin American Airlines have fallen in quality since being bought out by Alaska Airlines. Oh, here come the police. Anyways, this is a sneak peek of what's to come from Clark, who is putting the final touches on his debut album. If the rest of the record is just as good as this track, then this guy's bound to touch the sky successfully. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can follow me on Twitter and the J-pop, video games, and anime amino pages at KingBabyDuckESH and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade and on Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, and Smashed Rook. Promotional consideration for this week's tracks from Cannibals, made by High Violet PR and Plugging, and songs from Evan Jewett and Clark Twain, made by Shameless Promotion PR. And a big shout out to Mike Cullo of Merge Records for giving us the okay to play Fucked Up's latest song. We're all excited for Dose of Dreams here at B3, and we can't wait for that album to be unleashed. And one final very special thank you to the Pull of Autumn for their contribution to last week's Shameless Tuesdays. Just an FYI, no new Wicked anime this week. As I mentioned earlier, John Starr up and got married on our usual recording day. And as of this recording, he and the new missus are currently riding Splash Mountain for the umpteenth time at Disney World. So tune in a couple more weeks for a new Wicked anime when things go back as normal as a Wicked anime show gets. Which means probably not that normal. Our final track comes to us from Takahata Pistol, and this song currently serves as the end theme to the prequel to the hit anime Kaiji, Mr. Tonagawa, Middle Management Blues. It's actually quite the hilarious show, taking the tension from Kaiji and flipping it into the world of being a big cog in the business world's machine. Here now is Takahata Pistol with Okitagame. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck, remind you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.
ためを覚ます見送られて溜まる風置き手紙風の澄んで供養返して星くば舞う手目で溜めを島へ流し手目で溜めを島から流す高波によじれる船旅が
日酔いと追憶をかき混ぜる。ルールールール死なせないために歌った歌で、ルールールー殺しちまったことがあるんだよ。ルールールールールールールまともなわけねえだろうが、ルールールールールールまともなわけねえだろうが、誰かと間違えてねえか、俺がまともなわけねえだろうが、ルールールールールールールール痛み傷口を芸にすり替えて、をつつくペテン家業取り憑かれているならいざ知らず、取り付いてるってんだから救いがね、生乾きの空に翻る海鳥たちの行方を傘の先でなぞり歩く。そうや船が港に寄せる巻きは女房を抱く夢を見た。ルールール俺の目が黒いうちは、ルールールどうぞ白い目で見守っていておくれ。ルールールールールールまともなわけねえだろうが、ルールールールールまともなわけねえだろうが、誰かと間違えてねえか、俺がまともなわけねえだろうが、ルールールールールールールールールールールールールールールールールールールールール
Your King Baby Duck Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and your host for the No Borders No Race podcast. Each episode, we play the best, brightest, and hottest acts from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. Every song spun is but a mere taste of what you can expect of the artists heard, so if you truly loved what hit your eardrums, please be sure to support these musicians and buy their albums, EPs, and singles. Places like Amazon.com,CD Japan, Yes Asia, Bandcamp, iTunes, and even your local record store are great places to plop down some sweet moolah to let those artists know that they're doing a heck of a good job with their melodies. The more an artist gets support from listeners, the better the chance that they'll come to a venue nearest you to play the sounds that won your heart. This message is brought to you by the Boston Bastard Brigade, reminding you all to support your local, national, and international artists any way you can.